Please open your Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. During Jesus' last meal with his disciples before he died, he instructed them to remember him and proclaim his death until he returned. And Isaiah 53 helps us to do that by reminding us of who and what we should remember as we take the Lord's table. Although there's a lot packed in Isaiah 53, we will focus on answering just three questions from the text. And those questions are, according to Isaiah 53, who was Jesus? What did Jesus accomplish? And how did he accomplish what he did? Let's look at verse 11 together. Isaiah 53:11 says, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. So first, who was Jesus? In this verse, Jesus is called the righteous one. His entire life, Jesus was characterized by complete, utter perfection. He was completely sinless. And notice that he is called the righteous one, not a righteous one or someone righteous, but he is the, as in the only, righteous one. There is no other one who is righteous. There is, so to speak, one chair at the righteous table, and Jesus is seated in it. Jesus is the only one righteous. Next, what did Jesus accomplish? The last phrase of verse 10 says that the will of the Lord, or Yahweh, who is the self-sufficient, covenant-keeping God of Israel, who abounds in steadfast love and faithfulness, Yahweh's will would prosper in Jesus' hand. So what was God's will? Look again at verse 11. It says, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. God's merciful and gracious will was to declare sinners who are unrighteous to be righteous. Now, declaring one person to be righteous would have been gracious enough. One undeserving sinner righteous would have been gracious enough. But God desired to count not a few, but many people righteous as Jesus himself is. But doing this will come at a great cost to God himself. How did Jesus accomplish the justification or right standing of many before God? Verse 11 says that it was out of the anguish of his soul he did this. And if we look back through the entire chapter, this is hinted at all throughout. Verse 4 says that Jesus bore griefs and sorrows. Verse 5 says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And in order for sinners to have peace, God would chastise Jesus as well as wound him. Yahweh the Lord had to lay on him the iniquity of us all, verse 6 says. Verse 7 says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Verse 8 says that he was taken away by oppression and judgment, and that he was cut off when he was stricken for the transgressions of the people. And despite his righteousness, according to verse 9, he got a grave. And all of this torment, far from being a sad turn of events or happenstance, this was God's doing. Verse 10 says that Jesus' suffering was the will of Yahweh, and Yahweh has put Jesus to grief. Or as some translations render it, God was pleased to crush him. The cost of your and my righteous standing before God, believer, was nothing less than the righteous judgment of God unleashed against his righteous son, Jesus. All of the wrath of God that every single believer, past, present, and future, deserved and had been storing up for themselves because of their sin, this was unleashed on Jesus when he suffered. God punished Jesus, the righteous one, with the same punishment that he would have punished every believer with in hell if they had not believed. And he did this so that he could freely give those believers the perfection, the perfect righteousness of Jesus instead of what they deserved. And this is what we should remember when we take communion. For those of you who are joining us this morning who may not believe Jesus, if you're still rejecting Jesus' righteousness because you think that you have something to bring to the table, something to offer God, the Lord's table isn't for you. All men are a part of one of two groups. Either Jesus was oppressed and afflicted by God for you, or you will be oppressed and afflicted by God yourself. Either Jesus was judged by God for you, or you all alone will be judged by God. And the same one who was despised and rejected by men for men will reject and despise all those who do not accept his gracious offer of forgiveness. So if you fit into that category of someone who is still rejecting Jesus, denying your own righteousness and embracing Jesus' righteousness as your only hope before God, then don't let that continue to be you. Believe today. Today is the day of salvation. You can trust Jesus now and you can begin to proclaim Jesus' death with the rest of us. But if not, then when the bread and juice come, just pass it along. So believers, now, consider Jesus' own perfection. Consider his righteousness for you. Think on your own unworthiness and Jesus' death in your place, and remember that because of his grace and love, you have now been given a perfect, blameless standing before God, and rejoice as you take communion. When you're ready, you can take communion on your own. Amen.